Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, we've stopped thinking outside the box. Instead, we're thinking inside the bucket. The $2.99 Napa bucket, to be exact. When you fill those bad boys with auto parts, you can get 20% off three or more items that fit inside. No overthinking required. Just get your bucket, fill it up, and save 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 7/31/20.
We saved big money with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the cash to take a family vacation.
To Hawaii.
Who's up for a luau?
Yay!
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough to go to Hawaii. They'll probably use it for things like the mortgage and groceries, or even a travel magazine, so at least they can see pictures of Hawaii.
Aloha!
Yes, say hello to those beautiful Hawaiian beaches in that magazine. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
We figured we'd go down there into my basement, and that wallpaper is the play call sheets from the 2018 season. It was the perfect time during the draft to do that, and there was more space. But right now, all they're getting is the backdrop of my office that I'm in my home office.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Pat Hughes here, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs on 670 The Score. Listen to Ron Coomer and me on 670 The Score, your official destination to hear all 60 games of this unprecedented 2020 season.
Deep center field, back goes Taylor, it's got a chance, it's a grand slam, and the Cubs have won the ball game.
We've all been patiently waiting for the return of baseball, and finally it's time to play ball.
A swing and a drive, deep left center. It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Please remember to join Ron Coomer and me for every action-packed game of this unique 2020 season. Heard only on 670 The Score.
Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance! Gone!
Baseball's back, and so are the Cubs. Hear all 60 games on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, I knew we'd be talking about the Washington football franchise, but I thought we'd be talking about the major news of that name change that you first urged as justice protests were welling up, and eventually we got there. But let's put that on the back burner right now, because it does appear that some kind of bombshell story in the Washington Post is about to drop regarding this team and something going on that is much larger than just a name change. What's the latest, Mike?
Well, there are plenty of members of the media who either have covered the team or do cover the team who are buzzing about this. And it's kind of grown over the past several days, this idea that the Washington Post has something that they are going to be reporting. Nobody knows specifically what it is. I first caught wind a week and a half ago that there was something potentially happening, and I started to make some phone calls, and that's how I tripped into this notion that two of the three limited partners of Daniel Snyder, Dwight Schar and Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx, trying to sell their ownership stake in the team. So there is some deep-seated dissatisfaction with Daniel Snyder on the part of the limited partners. Now, I don't know whether or not any of them are trying to stir up trouble for Daniel Snyder. Would it surprise anyone? I mean, that's kind of how these things go, right? You've got limited partners who aren't happy with their partnership with Daniel Snyder, and if there is any dirt that they can dredge up and throw at Daniel Snyder and create problems for him, then that's the kind of stuff that people do in situations like this. So it remains to be seen what the gist of the story is. It remains to be seen if it even does get published. I had been told Tuesday, and then as of last night, I was told it's coming Thursday. The buzz is out there, and at this point, we just wait.
And to me, it's in the buzz. The details are in the adjectives here. When they say exposed in sickening fashion, warped and toxic culture, disappointing and sad. Get ready, people. And then if you do a little, I mean, it's a simple internet search. When you do toxic culture and the Washington football team, there's any number of stories, any number of people who have left that, who've gotten off of that ship because of references to that culture, whether it's assistant coaches and the recent purge, you're getting Bruce Allen out of there, the cheerleader pimping controversy that occurred back at the trip to Costa Rica that I want to say was in 2013. There's all sorts of things but trying to tie these threads together and make them hold up to some of those descriptors, it may be something else entirely. I don't even know what to think.
Well, and when you have so many former employees who left under circumstances that weren't necessarily voluntary, you have people who become motivated if and when there's an effort by, for example, a limited partner to try to conjure something up. You've got a quick and easy base of people to whom you can go and say, tell me more about what you experienced. And unless they are bound by the terms of some sort of a confidentiality agreement, although we learned with Jerry Richardson, the former Panthers owner, that confidentiality agreements don't mean much if people are still willing to talk, then they talk and it ends up being a report in the Washington Post, and who knows where it goes from here. Remember, it was a report in Sports Illustrated that quickly brought down Jerry Richardson. And I don't know that irony is the right word here, because thanks to Alanis Morissette, I never know when irony is the right word to use. But Ron Rivera has been through this once before. He was the coach in Carolina when the Jerry Richardson stuff hit the fan. And now if something hits the fan, if it is indeed some effort by the minority partners to get Daniel Snyder out or to make a run at Daniel Snyder, and again, this is all speculation, but my God, Ron Rivera, the possibility of being in this same kind of a circumstance twice in his career when it's never happened before to any other coach in the history of the NFL, it's just amazing if that's where this goes.
So the name actually got changed. We don't know what the new name is yet, as they're still trying to work through some copyright and legal hurdles. But I already think it already has taken just a couple of news cycles for most people to be over it and just sort of excited about what the new name is going to be. This is exactly what everybody predicted, that it would build up to some kind of threshold of critical mass and it would happen, and then the football world would get on with getting over it.
Yeah, but I still think that just like the Confederate flags that we see more often than we should, and one time is more often than we should, there are going to be members of that fan base that still wear the gear, that still use the name. And it'll be interesting to see if the new name is different enough to make it impossible or at least make it more difficult to use the old name. And I still think it was funny or sad or somewhere in between that in one final act of defiance by Daniel Snyder, he announced that the name is changing, but he still hasn't changed the name. That press release from Monday was laughable, the number of times they slapped the name that's going to be changed because they are admitting that the name isn't appropriate, but they still used it like seven times in the press
six.
Release.
Yeah, I counted the big logo, six mentions. Yep.
And the big logo up at the top. But the name and the logo will be retired once we know what the next name will be. Like, it really matters if they just get rid of the name pending the adoption of a new name, because we know the old name is going to go. And if anything, it puts more pressure on him to pick a new name faster, because that old name that needs to go continues to hide in plain sight as the official name of the team.
There's another story that's developing that I find really troubling, and it has to do with Texans wide receiver Kenny Stills. There was a protest in Kentucky relating to the murder of Breonna Taylor, and 87 people were charged with felonies for a peaceful protest when they marched to the home of the Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron asking for action in the wake of Breonna Taylor's death at the hands of police. And the charge is intimidating a participant in the legal process. So what I'm wondering here, first of all, how can this stand as a peaceful protest somehow being felonious, which I just find terrifying? And second of all, how does the NFL deal with this in that you have, pursuant to their behavioral code, something that they would have to say? If you're charged with a felony, there are consequences like that for your NFL employment. Yet in this current environment, they can't come down too hard on this. What happens now?
Well, the NFL's device for someone who faces charges, if it is something that is sufficiently negative from a PR standpoint, is to put the player on the commissioner exempt list, to keep the player out of public view, to keep announcers during games from having to talk about these horrific charges that the player is facing. And that's something they use case by case, and they're not going to use it for Kenny Stills. And if Kenny Stills ultimately is convicted of or pleads guilty to any charges arising from this incident, I don't think the NFL comes down on him the way that they come down on someone else. Now, they'll investigate it. The Texans will look into it. But on the surface, it just feels like somebody is being overly zealous. I don't know what it means to intimidate a participant in the legal process. Does that mean there was some sort of yelling and screaming and physical just menacing as police officers were trying to stop this? Who knows? Who knows at this point? But it does seem like the result of an overly zealous prosecutor and or police department to have that many people face felony charges on a charge that on its surface looks a little bit vague at best.
Now, we're supposed to be, I want to say, what, 8 weeks away from the start of the season as training camps are set to open. What's real now, and how close are we to an actual on-time beginning of the season as we just set a new record for new cases of COVID yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, what's real is that the NFL and the NFLPA are trying to work out the safety protocols and also the financial realities of football in a pandemic. The NFL has leverage on the safety side because they can just implement whatever rules they want and force the NFLPA to file a grievance under the collective bargaining agreement. The NFLPA has leverage when it comes to the financial side of it because the CBA is actually very favorable to the players as it relates to what they'll be paid this year. They get everything. If there's one game this year, they get everything. There is no way that the NFL can take any of their money away. The salary cap next year would be affected by that, but the teams don't benefit from the cap being reduced dramatically. They'd have to cut a bunch of players. So they're trying to work all of that out. And against that backdrop is the fact that we've got hotspots, various cities that have more cases than countries had back in March and April. And there's no sign that this thing is slowing down. There's no sign that these cities are reaching a peak. And when these camps open, the players are pushing for daily testing, Dan. So they want daily testing with a 24-hour turnaround. How do you justify diverting resources that otherwise would go to the citizens of these hotspot cities who are having to wait a week to get their results? That is going to be, I think, something that teams have to grapple with very, very quickly. And here's what's going to happen. I guarantee you at some point in the next 4 to 6 weeks, there will be a report from some unnamed source high up in the league office saying, I told these people they should have had a bubble and nobody listened to me, and we should have set up a bubble back in March, and if we had a bubble, we'd be able to pull this off. We can't pull this off in 30 cities where 6 or 7 or 8 of them are hotspots right now for the spread of the virus, and they're getting worse instead of better. And I think that's the biggest threat to the season happening, the fact that the virus is spreading unchecked in these cities where NFL teams are going to be located and expecting to get test results on a daily basis turned around in 24 hours each, day after day after day. 90 players at first, coaches, training staff, everybody that they need to have tested. It's just going to be untenable very, very quickly. And I you know, people, oh, you're rooting against football season. No, I'm trying to be realistic here. I'm trying to understand what the issues and the hurdles are, and they better come up with something or they're not going to be able to pull this off.
What I'm waiting for is to see if the NFL starts to pivot to what it seems the leaders in college sports are doing, and that is using the existence of college football as a Trojan horse for getting people in these areas to actually wear their masks. Essentially saying, it's on you, it's up to you, when they punt it to the end of July, even though the science might not say it's not enough time to get any read and any meaningful statistics. But they're just trying to say, hey, if you want dear old state, if you want your Saturdays, and if you want to be able to cheer on Alabama, put your mask on. It's up to you, it's on you. If in some of these areas the NFL starts doing the same thing, that maybe if the only thing that can reach some of the dead enders, if the only thing that can reach some anti-science people is, hey, if you wear your mask, you get your football, then I know they're desperate.
Well, and that's a drum that the NFL should have been pounding on in March and April. But back in that time frame, in the aftermath of the draft, everything went great. And we assume that the testing is going to be readily available and prevalent, and things will have died down, and it'll be a rapid response saliva test, and everything will be fine by the time we get to August and September. It's gone the other way. And the reality here is the people who will be complaining the most if there's no football are the people who are the most responsible for the fact that there is no football. And at some point, there needs to be one hell of a reckoning for the individuals who were too stupid and or selfish to deal with this the appropriate way. And more importantly, their enablers in politics and media who allowed them, who justified them to engage in stupid and selfish behavior. You know, anytime that we individually want to do something that we know deep down we shouldn't do, we look for someone who tells us it's okay to do the thing that we know deep down we shouldn't do. And there have been plenty of voices in politics and media that have given people that license, that have either given them false information or a false sense of security that they don't need to wear a mask, that it actually will harm them in some way if they wear a mask, that they don't need to socially distance, that it's a hoax, that it's the flu. And we all know who it started with. But it didn't just start with the person at the top. It trickled down to a lot of other people. And I've been saying over and over again, there will be a special place in hell for the people who actively encouraged others not to take this seriously, because lives are on their hands. And at some point, I hope that we take a step back and we hold the people accountable who are responsible for the failure of our people to take this thing as seriously as they should. Rant over.
From your mouth to God's ears on that one. That was brilliant. That encapsulated everything. And sometimes you run across a tweet that really resonates with you. Andrew Brandt tweeted, "Rooting for health to happen is not rooting against sports to happen. Please." And I said, yes, that is a very succinct way of saying this, that I don't know how somehow it's been twisted into you hate sports. It's sort of like how those of us have felt about head injuries and football, and this being the war on football, why everything has to be so reductive and devolved to these things, that the first thing that has to happen is health, and then everything comes back and everything's going to be better and more normal. But we got to take care of the house on fire first.
We have become a people that simply refuses to accept and process anything we don't want to hear. It started with opinion from a political standpoint, and it has morphed into fact. Do not tell me facts that I do not want to hear. And if you don't tell me facts that I don't want to hear, those facts aren't real. That's where we are right now. And that's why we're in this mess. And that's why the house is on fire. And you've got plenty of people who are just sitting around saying, boy, it's a little warm in here. Maybe I should go turn the thermostat down.
Lastly, we're hearing about these Oakley face shields that have been created that could potentially be required for NFL players. And if they can breathe and if they don't fog up and all those ifs, it sounds like it's something that would make sense. How much pushback do you think there's going to be, and what's the possibility of them being mandatory?
Well, I know that plenty of players don't want it. They don't want it to be mandatory. I talked to J.J. Watt about it last week. He said in his second season in the league, he thought it would be cool to wear a visor. You know, players wear the visors. He thought it would be neat to try it out. It lasted for three periods of practice in the Texas heat. Get this thing out of my face. And that was over his eyes, not his mouth. You cover up someone's mouth. Now, the design that I saw, they claim you can breathe. It doesn't feel claustrophobic, but it prevents the droplets from getting out. They're going to have to test it out. They're going to have to see. And it's all going to come down to how comfortable players are with that piece of plastic covering their nose and their mouth. The face mask still allows you to breathe the way you normally would. And I don't think they should make it mandatory. They need to have players buy in. They need to have players choose to do it. And this is just another one of the disconnects, Dan. We hear all of the things they are doing to keep players safe, social distancing, wearing masks, coming up with face shield. But at the end of the day, they're going to have an 11-on-11 scrum for 3 hours. And I don't know how you reconcile the two. And a lot of people look at it and say, how do you reconcile it? And one thing I know that the NFL is banking on is the idea that in an open-air setting or in a dome where there's a very high ceiling, the chances of transmission are much less than in a confined space. Football is going to be the guinea pig for that. And we'll see, number one, if they can keep people who are positive off the field. Number two, if they can come up with a way to minimize transfer. Number three, if this presumption is right, that when you're open air or under a high dome with great ventilation, it's not going to transmit the way that it would inside of a meeting room, a weight room, or in somebody's house or a bar or a restaurant or whatever.
Straight fire today from Mike Florio. We'll talk again next week, man.
See you,
Thank
pal.
You. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Wow. How about that, huh? 312-644-6767 if you want to react to those pointed thoughts from somebody who is as plugged in as anybody when it comes to the NFL. We've got some baseball headed your way as well. If you missed Tommy Hotovy on the morning show, the Mully and Haw show today with Tom Thayer sitting in, a lot of information about the Cubs pitching staff, about what he's seeing, how everything is going to shape up based on that scrimmage last night that those of us with the Marquee Network got to see. A lot of quiet on that whole Marquee Network front after June 25th, Crane Kenny on these airwaves told us we're close, we're close, we're close, we're optimistic, we're close, and then after 3 weeks, nothing. So we'll see if the brinksmanship continues on that front. But there is a lot of Cubs information ahead of the midday midway, and then more football in the 11 o'clock hour with Jerry DiNardo, and all sorts of cool stuff keeping you updated on everything that is going on. Dan Bernstein, 9 to noon, live and local, Monday through Friday on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. In the ever-entertaining soap opera that is the NBA, now we have Bubble Narcs. The league has set up an anonymous tip line for bubble breakers. Already two players have had their bubble burst for leaving the grounds, and they're both sentenced to another 10 days inside their Disney hotel room watching HBO and playing Xbox. In mafia movies, a snitch is the worst thing you could be called, but in this case, I don't blame any players for tipping off the NBA authorities to the irresponsible behavior of their peers. Look, this is a global pandemic, a worldwide virus that happens to have a spike in cases right outside those hotel doors in Orlando. You know, in the gangster movies, snitches get invited on a car ride upstate. In Orlando, you text the tip line. This is Damon Amendolara.
Hi, this...
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Are you having a difficult time finding domestically made masks? Are you a healthcare system that is tired of being reliant on China for PPE? RB Medical Supply is here to help. Our mission is to provide products made in the USA to anyone that needs it. We are cutting our traditional distribution supply chains and selling factory direct to keep you, your employees, and your family safe. during the COVID-19 pandemic. Visit us today at rbmedicalsupply.com. rbmedicalsupply.com.
Right now, you're streaming The Score.
Chicago's original and number one sports station. And, of course, the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Cubs fans, Pat Hughes here.
And Ron Coomer.
670 The Score is where you want to be to hear every exciting play of Cubs baseball.
We'll deliver all the excitement and action of every Cubs game.
The pitch to Anthony. Swung on. Deep right field. Cubs are going to win the ball game.
Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Gone.
3-2, wrapped on the ground left side. Baez gloves it, spins, throws, gets him. Baez drives one in the air, deep left field. It's got a chance! Javi Baez with a game-winning home run.
A line drive rocket on a hanging breaking ball by Baez. And when the Cubs aren't playing, you can count on the Score team to bring you the hottest Cubs talk anywhere.
Listen to every Cubs game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
A radio.com sports station.
It all starts with just one thing. This summer, try some eco-friendly water sports like paddleboarding, swimming, or diving. And be sure to use reef-friendly sunscreen. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and that, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Would you have gotten the 4 unprompted? Contreras in the air, deep center. Hat will watch it go. It's a home run. Wilson Contreras off Yu Darvish. And it's 2-0.
That's Wilson saying, hey, you don't want me to catch you? Okay, I'll take you deep. Well, Darvish got him last time, struck him out swinging. This time, Contreras goes straight away center field for the long ball. I think he's got like 3 of those already here in summer camp. Had 24 last year, Contreras, playing in 105 ball games.
Wind is blowing out, but definitely got a hold of it.
Trying to go down and away, and it was kind of middle. Darvish pointing high in the sky, hopeful that ball was going to stay in the yard for somebody, but no chance.
You don't want me to catch you? You want Victor Caratini to catch you? All right, I'll take you deep. That was courtesy of the Marquee Network. Last night, baseball, or something resembling baseball, on our television. Kyle Hendricks outduels Yu Darvish, but as you're about to hear, it's probably going to come down to a choice between those two for opening day starter of this 60-game season here. You'll hear those games on your home for Cubs baseball right here on The Score. And pitching coach Tommy Hotovy, as he does weekly, joined the Mully and Haw show with Tom Thayer sitting in this morning. And they started out by asking Hotovy about how he's been feeling, because he's still recovering from his own case of COVID-19.
Thank you guys again. I mean, I do want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about that last time and just kind of walk through what I went through. But definitely feeling better, getting kind of throwing yourself back into the routine of the baseball world has definitely helped. And being on my feet a lot longer than I've been used to has definitely, helped test kind of my endurance and everything right now. But it's been good. A lot of the tests and things I've been kind of doing just to make sure everything's functioning the right way have been coming back with some positive signs, so it's giving me more and more confidence to get out there every day. But it's great being around the guys. It's great being out there, kind of just, again, thrown into the baseball world and not thinking about any of the other stuff right now.
You know, Tommy, when you think about football, the opening day starter is known well in advance. And it seems different for baseball. When you go through the initial start of spring training and then the time off and now the reboot, are you still have the same feelings about your opening day starter and this round? And are you confident and comfortable with the decision you're going to make?
Yeah, when we usually do it in a normal spring training fashion, you kind of have an idea of, you know, a couple options that are going to be your opening day starter. And you have, you know, 35, 40 days to kind of let that play out. We don't have that luxury here, you know, right now with this new, this kind of re-ramp up here. So what we tried to do is just is like front load all of our starters in these games so that way we can cover ourselves if one person, if we get a positive test or somebody has a little nagging injury, we can build those some days in the back end. So we kind of have an idea of who we like to be in those positions. But again, a lot of what we're, you know, up against is just, you know, a pending test or a little nagging injury that could set that off. So I think in an ideal world, yeah, you would have a guy or two that you really want to be in that spot and build out their routine accordingly. But for right now, again, we're still taking this day to day, hoping to see how guys recover from their outings, get back negative tests, and hopefully in the next 3 or 4 days, we'll be able to solidify something for that opening day.
Kyle Hendricks looked sharp last night, Tommy. Yu Darvish has looked sharp. He didn't look as sharp as Kyle last night, but those are two guys on the same schedule. Is it between those two guys, and does one have an edge over the other?
Yeah, right now, I mean, I'd say it's between those two guys just because they're lined up for that day, but, you know, we have ways of adjusting if things happen. You know, I think both of them looked really good last night for different reasons. You know, Kyle is just so, you know, he's so methodical in the work that he does, and he's so, you know, locked in on the work he put in over the time, the mechanics, things he wanted to get locked in. And now the last piece of it is just execution of pitches, which you saw last night as he was executing a lot of pitches. So he's in a really good place. He's also about, you know, 10 pitches ahead of Darvish, 10 to 15 pitches, you know, so, you know, that obviously allowed him to go a little longer, you know, into the game last night. And for Darvish, getting back out, you know, last night for that fourth inning, seeing him progress in his pitches, seeing the velocity that he you know, exhibited last night, all good signs of things he wanted to do. You know, we had talked before his game, you know, last night also was the first two he felt like he was just going to get his legs under him and work on spinning a few pitches and kind of sequencing. And last night with both of our starters, we went through a full scout report. We obviously know our guys, our hitters well, but we wanted to get them in their pregame routines, going over the scout report, going up through hitters, how we want to attack them. And then Darvish, you know, also wanted to start working on some specific things and letting it go a little bit more. So I think both of them last night, you got to see some really, really good things out of both those guys.
Hey, Tommy, do you have a pitch count in mind for your top, I'll say Lester, Darvish, and Hendricks at this point? Or is it kind of a wait-and-see scenario that when the adrenaline gets flowing and everything gets amped up, maybe it'll carry them for a couple extra pitches? Or do you have a number in mind for each of them?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see this next outing, you know, whatever they can get to, if we can get them to that point, Kyle threw 70 last night, probably, you know, try to push him to 80, 85 next outing. Darvish was 60 last night, was looking at about 75, you know, 80 next outing. One thing I like to think about, and we talk a lot about with our training staff, especially these, you know, spikes in workload increase, you're going to see some guys have heavier, you know, pitch counts next outing. When we get into the season, you know, you're going to see a much different intensity. You know, you're actually playing games that matter, and you see guys spike. So just because a Kyle Hendricks or a Darvish or these guys are going to be at 80 pitches or 75, 80 pitches next outing doesn't mean necessarily that they are ready for 100, you know, right out of the chute. The other thing to think about for us, too, is we have 18 straight coming out. So the last thing we want to do, you know, right away, that first outing of the season is push guys, you know, past that 90, 95, 100 pitch limit just because of that, no extra days built in. Now, if we get guys to repeat that 85, 90 pitch kind of mark, I think that's a really good benchmark to have. And we obviously talk to our pitchers and get their feedback about how they're feeling. Saying a pitch count, 80 pitches in seven innings, like Kyle kind of would have had last night, versus 80 pitches in four innings are, completely different animals we have to, look out for.
Joined by Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy here on The Score, Mully and Haw, with Tom Thayer in for Mully. And Tommy, I look at Craig Kimbrell, and two things come to mind. Number one, he looks leaner. He looks like a little bit leaner version of his 2019 self. I wonder if that is the case and you see the same thing. And secondly, without fans, a guy that feeds off adrenaline, how do you duplicate that? How do you worry about that at all? Because he's not going to have that crowd to fuel him in the way that he typically has done in the past.
I think that's a great question. To answer the first part, he definitely looks leaner. He basically, during this whole shutdown period, quarantined himself out on his farm and worked out there, in his barn, he had his mound set up and his Rapso unit. So he was working on the farm and pitching. That was the extent of what he did for about 3 months there. And he looks, physically looks really good. And he's, he is a guy that feeds off that ninth inning. And the adrenaline of the fans and having the crowd there. He is a guy, though, too, that has been doing it for a long time and understands what he needs to get himself in a good position. There's going to be adrenaline no matter what. Fans in the stands are not when you're coming in the ninth inning in a one-run game and you're trying to close it down. So I'm not concerned with that at all with him. I think he's a guy that has pitched in a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different situations. And I think getting him physically to where he wants to be when this opening day hits and have him have the pitches moving the way he wants to have them move and executing the way he wants to, I think is just as important. It is probably more important than whether or not, that adrenaline is going to kick in for him when that ninth inning hits.
Hey, Tom, with some of the new rules that involve relief pitchers, during the course of time, do you have to increase their workload during practice sessions, or do you have to expand mentally how they think about how long they have to go into the game?
Yeah, absolutely. We've really, the relievers especially, we've hit them, during this process about coming in ready to throw two innings. A lot of our guys did that. Obviously some guys weren't able to accomplish that just because of the facilities they had or access to things they had during this shutdown. But you've seen a lot of our guys already have been able to go two innings, if not a little bit more. And it's just as much mental as it is physical, because the National League game, especially for the last, as soon as I've been around the last 6 years, there's a lot of, all right, you're going to face one or two hitters and then you're out of the game, or you're going to throw one inning and you're out of the game, and then we're going to hit for the pitcher. All those things that factor into getting a pitcher out of the game. Now we're trying to look for ways to keep guys in a game, be able to extend them, four, five, six hitters, find good matchups to exploit if there's a way we can extend that out. So the physical side, guys are definitely able to, get up to more pitch count. It is more the mental side we got to prep them for and get them ready to understand, like, hey, you may come in and have a clean inning, and we're going to send you back out for a few more hitters, or if not an entire inning, or vice versa. One thing that we talk a lot about, when you bring a reliever in a high leverage, high intensity situation, if you bring a guy in first and third and one out, he punches two guys out, your adrenaline's really high during that time. There's always a crash, when you come and sit down and then you go back out. A lot of times in the course of a season, when you come in those high leverage situations and your adrenaline is so high, we will try to get guys out of there just because we know that crash is coming for a lot of guys. But that's not the case anymore. Getting them to understand, like, you may come in a huge spot in a tie game and punch out the side, and then have to go back out and start another clean inning. That's definitely something that takes a lot of mental strength, and to be able to kind of clear that first moment, sit down and rest, and then go back out there for the second inning.
Back to your rotation for a moment, Tommy. After the big three, what is the plan for Jose Quintana in his return to throwing off a mound? And how would you evaluate the progress of Tyler Chatwood and Alec Mills?
Yeah, Q, we're supposed to get some news here, I think, either today or tomorrow, just about him getting, you know, the stitches out and things that, you know, another follow-up appointment on his hand. So, you know, for Q, he's been in great spirits. Everybody that's been around Q knows the type of person he is and a teammate that he is. And he's handled this really well. He's been doing a great job keeping his shoulder strong and doing the exercises, things he needs to do. You know, it's hard to make any calls on it just because, you know, we haven't even seen him play catch yet, you know. So until we do that and we see kind of how everything's functioning, how his arm looks and how the ball is coming out of his hand, I think we'll get a better understanding of where he is and what that timeline looks like. In terms of Tyler and Alec, you know, both those guys are progressing really well. You know, Tyler was similar pitch count to Hendricks. Him and Kyle threw a lot together over that break. So you're going to see him, you know, probably with a higher pitch count right now. And I like the way he's really been attacking the strike zone. He's a guy that can get some weak contact quick, and keeping him kind of focused on that is – he's got swing and miss stuff, but also having the ability to get quick outs when he needs to, you know, just leads to being able to go longer in the games. You know, Alec, similarly, he is not, you know, the best thing about him, he's not afraid of who's in the box. He can attack. He can do so many different things with the baseball. You know, I kind of, hybrid there, kind of behind, you know, like kind of similar to Kyle, but can spin the baseball a little differently. Has a little bit different fastball, you know, and changeup. So, you know, can do a lot of similar things. He's probably pitch count-wise similar to where Darvish is. And again, just continue to watch these guys progress and watch them from not only game to game and see if we can get those pitch counts hit, but the bullpens in between, what we're able to work on, how they're recovering. Those bullpens in between are so crucial just because, you know, if guys aren't recovering well, we can't get the work in that we want to do to make sure we're sharpening things up. If guys are recovering well and we're monitoring these pitch counts in the games, it allows us to do a lot more in those bullpens to get guys sharp, to work on the pitches that we need to hone in. And these guys have done a great job with that.
A lot of info there from Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy, who was on with Tom Thayer and David Haugh, the Mully and Haugh show, just this morning. So, I mean, a lot of dense info there. That's not just sort of gobbledygook coach speak. There's question and answer and info. Always a compelling guest on these airwaves. We have the Midday Midway coming up. We have some news from Mayor Lori Lightfoot about what's going on in Chicago, and she has a message to some young people in Chicago who are acting irresponsibly. So we'll start that out on a serious note. But then we've got a new fast food burger that is interesting. And we have a woman who has spent her life as a shark documentarian who had an interaction with one of her subjects, but it hasn't cooled her fervor or her love for her favorite animal. And if we have time to get to it, karma delivered via truck. That's coming your way in the Midday Midway on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to two on The Score.
It makes me sad that Kopech is not going to be a part of it. You're talking about someone who has anxiety and depression issues. If you add all of those things together and then put COVID on top of it, I'm like, anyone who wants to take a step back from this, they have my full support.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by Factor Law.
This great selection of kitchen and bath products featuring the bold look of Kohler. Visit us online at shopstudio41.com to find a showroom near you.
Great sheets matter. There's a big difference between really good luxury bedding and just the regular stuff. And I was probably like you, and I thought there's no difference. It's sheets are sheets. They're not. And my wife's like, no, we're going to sleep on the good stuff. So we do. And now we sleep on Brooklinen, because Brooklinen has figured everything out. It used to be, when we were first buying luxury sheets, you had to go to a department store or you had to go to a boutique and you had to learn about thread count and all sorts of magical kinds of cotton. And Brooklinen realized realized you don't need that. All you need are great sheets at a great price. So they stripped out all the BS and all the markups in this sector. So now if you go to brooklinen.com, you can just get great sheets at a great price, and you can click around and find whatever style you like. We have exactly what we like, and it just makes everything perfect, for the routine of making your bed in the morning to that feeling of being able to get in those sheets at night and sleeping well. And Brooklinen sheets are the perfect place to start making your mornings great. Brooklinen is so confident in their product, all of their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty, and right now there's this deal. 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code SCORE at brooklinen.com. And you can check out whatever you like. It can be sheets and pillowcases and duvet covers, whatever bundle you may want. 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code SCORE. It's brooklinen.com. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This isn't a grilled cheese I'm making. It's a melty masterpiece that deserves a kitchen worthy of greatness.
Looks like my porch is full of packages again. It also looks like my compulsive buying needs to change to compulsive saving.
As I sit here on this couch, I decided to make some changes, starting with this couch.
I'd love to be looking out my window at a beautiful backyard instead of a brick wall. Time for a new house.
Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Here we are at the Midday Midway, having already started out talking about the Cubs and the experience last night. We had a shared baseball viewing experience, live baseball on our TV with some noise that's piped in through the PA. The players hear it and we hear it. And there was music and artificial crowd noise, and it was fine. It was fine. Not everybody could see it, however, and we replayed Crane Kenny's very optimistic comments from June 25th about the imminent deal between Marquee Network and Comcast, and 3 weeks later, crickets. Nothing. So, still waiting to see if there are some artificial deadlines that are going to force the hand of both parties to reach some kind of agreement. Ian Happ was awesome, as he always is. He joined us a day early this week just because of some scheduling concerns. And then we talked about an ominous story that the Washington Post apparently is getting ready to run regarding the Washington football team that has nothing to do with their name change. And some of the adjectives that are being used, such as sickening and sad and toxic regarding the culture of the football team, we don't know exactly what it is, but the media in Washington Washington is abuzz about something. Mike Florio talked about that, and we may want to replay that that 2-minute rant that he had today, because that was just outstanding stuff of talking about how the people who have been most defiant of science are the people demanding that football come back are the same people whose behaviors are more specifically keeping football from coming back. And it is a true irony. Bring back football! Make everything normal! It's all a hoax! Well, it's actually those people and those behaviors that are the headwinds for football coming back, whether it's of the college variety or the pro variety. It was great stuff from Florio today. And you heard again from pitching coach for the Cubs, Tommy Haddavy, talking about their plans. Lori Lightfoot has some words for you, and I just want to read this. So this is from CBS Chicago. The last thing I want to do is to have to take steps back. I certainly don't want to be like other places in the country where we're shutting down commerce and business. This is what the mayor of Chicago just said this morning. If we continue to see this uptick in cases, we're going to have no choice but to go back to phase 3. That means shutting businesses down. That means imposing more restrictions on your mobility. No one wants to go back there, but we will have to go back there if people continue to ignore the public health guidance. And she's talking primarily to young people. Since June 15th, nearly 30% of all new virus cases in Chicago are among people between the ages of 18 and 29. She said, this should be all the proof that you need. If you're in the 18 to 29-year-old cohort, you are catching COVID-19, you are getting sick, and you're not only putting yourself at risk, you're putting every single person that you come into contact with at risk as well. Some of you have joked that I'm like the mom who will turn the car around when you're acting up. No friends is actually worse. I won't just turn the car around. I'm going to shut it off. I'm going to kick you out, and I'm going to make you walk home. That's who I am. That's who I must be for you and everyone else in this city to make sure we continue to be safe. I don't want to be that person if I don't have to, but I will if you make me. And right now we are on the precipice. We are dangerously close to going back to a dangerous state of conditions. And according to Chicago Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwadi, Chicago's averaging fewer than 200 new cases per day. She expects it to climb. And she says when we get back above 200, we're back in a high incident state and we're back in a caution state. She says it doesn't equal an automatic rollback. However, if and when Chicago climbs above that threshold, public health officials will look at problem areas such as bars and could order them to close if needed. If Chicago reaches 400 cases per day, that's equivalent to levels seen in the city's travel quarantine mandate. That would indicate we're going back to phase 3. So listen up, idiots. Listen to mom, because she's saying she's not just going to turn the car around. She's going to shut it off. And I can tell you this, this is not a bluff from Lori Lightfoot. She's not kidding. There is a brand new burger that Burger King is selling, and I didn't know that this was a scientific effort, but Burger King is selling a reduced methane emission Whopper. They have been concerned, as many scientists have been, concerned about what the meat industry is doing to our climate because of cow farts. Cow burps, cow farts are apparently filled with methane. And laugh all you want, but we're thinking about cars and trucks and planes and everything else. Cows are an enormous problem in that regard. And those of us who love our beef have to grapple with that and feel kind of guilty about it. And of course, I can stop eating meat, but I don't want to because that is my area of selfishness, I think. And Burger King has announced a new diet tip, 100 grams of lemongrass to keep the methane away. They're rolling out a Whopper patty made from cows on a low-methane diet. It's a limited-time offer burger. It's going to be available at select locations in Miami, New York, Austin, Portland, and Los Angeles. Burger King has worked with scientists from the Autonomous University at the State of Mexico and the University of California. UC Davis, actually, tackling the environmental impact of beef. The lemongrass diet reduces a third of methane emissions per day during the last 3 or 4 months of the cow's life. So it's obviously a gimmick, but they at least they're understanding what this contribution is to climate change. And it's certainly worth trying. I don't know if you can taste the difference between a cow that eats lemongrass or some lemongrass and one that doesn't. But we just have to make sure that our significant others don't find out about this, or all of us are going to be placed on a partial lemongrass diet.
They live in a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
So what if you're a documentarian? If you spend your time photographing and recording sharks, and then you're out swimming and one of them gets you. Well, that's what happened to Annika Craney. She was taken to Cairns Hospital in Queensland after she was bitten by a shark on her off day. She's 29 years old, and she was swimming near the coast of Fitzroy Island, and she has been part of a 7-person crew filming a YouTube series, and it was her off day from filming the shark documentary. They don't know what kind of shark it was, but it grabbed her lower ankle, it broke her ankle, and cut it all up. And as she was being rolled away to the medevac helicopter, she said this.
I still love sharks! Sharks are beautiful!
Okay, here's the thing, the sharks don't care. They don't care if you love them or not. You're just there and you might be food. And
I still love sharks! Sharks are beautiful!
Idiot!
It's like she has to say she still loves sharks just so we know, so it's confirmed that it's that she loves. Okay, they don't care, and we don't care. What, do we think she's gonna turn on them? She spent her whole life in this existence filming these sharks that she's so amazed by. She's there with a documentary crew. That one gets her, that she's gonna go rogue. Well, that's it. Now you're my sworn enemy, and she's gonna turn into Ahab, and she's gonna just spend the rest of her life trying to decimate the shark population. Because if anybody would understand the shark's behavior, I think she would probably understand it and maybe not hold it against the shark as if it's some sort of personal retaliation or personal affront to her because one of them grabbed her ankle. I think the fact that she felt compelled to say, it's okay, don't worry about me. I know you were just being a shark. I'm a shark scientist. I should know. Give me my foot back.
I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful.
Maybe you've seen this woman before in Asheville, North Carolina. Well, there's a woman named Rachel Dawn Ruitt in Henderson County, and she made international news, becoming famous for an on-camera racist rant. She was screaming racial epithets and making threats at people, and, I mean, obviously a disturbed person. And then July 4th, she ripped off a woman's hijab and grabbed a teenager in the groin after saying that she needed to be put down. And after that one, she was finally arrested and charged with simple assault, disorderly conduct, and second-degree trespass, which are all misdemeanors. And apparently, this is a woman that just sits in public and screams at people and attacks people who try to film her. And she pulls knives on people, and multiple times the police have been called, and they don't do anything about it. And eventually they finally did, but she was released and went back out there again. Well, apparently yesterday, she was struck in the street by a fire truck, and they're considering them life-threatening injuries, which is kind of fine. So this would be the we always talk about the bus list. This is someone who would have been on the bus list, and had we known about these incidents before, certainly a qualified candidate for the bus list. Well, the bus came in the form of a fire truck, so it's possible she won't be joining us for the rest of her life. That's karma, and that is today's Midday Midway. We do it most days around 10:40. Old friend Jerry DiNardo is going to check in next on The Score.
I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Morning Show. Start your day with the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Live at 5. Mike Mulligan and David Hall. They're live and they're local. From the city you love. Doing it for the city you love. Mullion Hall, where Chicago goes for sports talk. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
Hey, this is Jay Zawoski, and more leagues are coming back every week. We're 9 days from baseball, a couple weeks away from the hockey playoffs starting, and I cannot wait to stop watching old games and start watching real live sports again. This time around, I'm going to be betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're looking for a better way to bet on your favorite sports online, check out FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They have more ways to win. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. And unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel accepts most major payment options. And when you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through FanDuel's safe and secure process. You won that money. You should have access to it quickly. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, you will. By combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you'll also have the ability to use your winnings across both products. So if you win a big bet on the weekend, you can load up your fantasy account for the next week ahead. It's a really great system they have there at FanDuel Sportsbook. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply.